This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Ryan Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Welcome into another edition of the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. It is week number 9 in the NFL, and I was talking last week about how we're already at the midway point of the fantasy football season, and I guess at this point we are in the second half of the fantasy football season. That's pretty unbelievable. Entering the month of November, hitting Halloween. What's been the scariest moment of your fantasy football season? I'm sure if you took Tom Brady, Brady in the first round of your fantasy draft, that would be the scariest moment. We have Eric Scaravino, a very, very special guest, joining us. We essentially just switched seats, switched headphones, switched microphones from a few minutes ago when I joined you on the Patriots Playbook.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there is anything wrong with that at all. In fact, it's encouraged. Anyways, you are notorious for being a fantasy football slacker, correct?
Slacker, big time.
Big time slacker, and this year in particular. So that begs the question, why the heck are you on this show?
I was doing you a favor because you helped me out on my last show, so I figured I'd stick around.
And this is supposed to be help? A non-fantasy participant?
Well, but I
technically
must say,
you are a fantasy
participant. I am because I have won my fantasy league in the past. So it's just this year that I'm just not really paying attention to it. But I've had some fantasy skills.
Right, right. And you can't could you have even given yourself any credit for winning in the past, or did you just kind of slack off that year too and just lucked out?
No. Those were years where I was actively making roster moves and you know had a great draft in the beginning and made up for any injuries or whatever that came along.
How was your draft this year?
Didn't take part in it.
Didn't take part. This is just tremendous.
I've gotten to that point where it's just too much other stuff on the plate.
I hear you.
For the sake of my friends who asked me to join so that they could have an even number of teams, I joined their leagues.
Right.
I'm the doormat of all the leagues.
Well, I give you credit. You can't. You know, not everybody can be a fantasy geek like me. And have several leagues.
Guru.
And have several leagues and do a show. And
several. How many is several?
I got two.
Okay.
Really two. That's it.
Right.
There was one year where I was in three leagues. It's just one of those. I can't say no. You know, someone says, hey, we got another spot in our league. Go for it. You know, and what it
hey,
takes.
Hey, B-Lo, can you come on Patriots Playbook? Eric's alone. I can't say no.
Exactly. See, I said, exactly. Can't say no to that. You know, just. It's great to be on your show. Great for you to come on to this show. Your thoughts, Eric, on the fantasy season so far from a Patriots point of view. Who has stood out to you? Are there guys who have been, let's start with Castle, I guess. What have been your thoughts? If you had Matt Castle on your fantasy team, or if you had a hole at quarterback, would Matt Castle be a guy you'd consider?
Well, I think, there's a dearth of quality quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And there has been for the past few years. There are only a handful of players who I would consider, great franchise quarterbacks. One of them is out for the season.
Yep.
Tom Brady. Peyton Manning's another one, but he's not having a Peyton Manning-like year.
Yep.
I would have said Tony Romo a little while back, but now he's hurt. So I think your best quarterback right now in the league, I'd say, is Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, I think, to me, is maybe one of the safest fantasy players at any position right now. You know what you're going to get out of him. Mm-hmm. I think he's only had one game this year. It was a couple weeks ago where he really didn't have the two or three touchdowns that he's used to, and he had two picks, I think. He's really one of the safest guys right up there in yardage. I mean, he's number one in yardage,
right.
Great in touchdowns as well. What's most interesting, and then you've got guys like your Phillip Rivers, who's been a steady performer.
Up and down.
Aaron Rodgers, but these guys aren't yet in the upper echelon where you expect year in, year out for them to be top performers.
And that's why this is a kind of year where if you have Castle, you're not really too bad off because nobody else in the league is really performing at a high enough level that you can say, oh, boy, I wish I had this guy or that guy. The only guy you can really say that about, as we said, is Breeze, who you know every week is going to get you what you need. But that said, Castle had his best game as a pro against the Rams the other day.
He did.
Yardage-wise and otherwise. I think for the rest of the year, if he continues to trend the way he has, he's a great option, given what's available around the league, which is not a whole lot.
Right. Now, I was looking this week. I was just trying to monitor and take a look back at like last year and like the last few years, been a lot of quarterback changes. And, you know, you got a guy like Brady who goes down for the season. Okay, his backup is going to take over, you know, at least for a few weeks unless he really screws up. But then you've got the week in, week out guys. You know, Kansas City's got someone else every week. You've got different teams that have injuries to guys. Even Romo, you mentioned you don't know how long he's going to be out. You got to look at his backup, especially an offense like that. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at some of these backups and how they performed. And you've got the tier, you know, you don't have a guy who's coming out of nowhere and been a Derek Anderson. Like that was unique last year.
Yeah,
a guy comes into the season not as a starter, as a backup, and as a Pro Bowler. You've got your tier that's Castle, that's Kerry Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I would have put J.T. O'Sullivan in that category for
until
the first five
benched.
Or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Now he's had a couple of bad weeks. You've got your tier of guys that probably aren't going to win you a league, but they're not going to kill you either, like mm-hmm. Castle and Collins. I mean, Collins only has 3 touchdowns passes this year, mm-hmm. but he also only has 3 interceptions. He's had a couple of decent yardage games. Then you've got the guys who have just been miserable, but you figure it's a lot of it has to do with the team that they're playing with. Mm-hmm. Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep. Smart guy.
Very smart guy. He might be the only Harvard guy in fantasy rosters this year. And if you have to be really desperate if you've had to jump in and select one of these guys. And then you've got another tier that's like Brad Johnson, guy who, you know, he's a veteran. He's been around before. He's on a team with so much talent. What can he do fantasy-wise? Mm. Not much so far.
Now, are you seeing, as a result of this lack of quality depth at quarterback, are you seeing an ancillary effect with wide receivers production?
There haven't been, you know, I think some of the wideouts that you expect to perform well have done well, but, you know, Terrell Owens not mm-hmm. doing much with Brad Johnson. Look at Cincinnati. I mean, you know, with Carson Palmer not performing well, that's absolutely hurt those guys. You look at Detroit. I mean, without a court, you know, Calvin Johnson's had his moments. Roy Williams shipped out of town. Yeah, it has an effect. And in a similar respect, it has an effect on the running backs. In some of these cases, you might have running backs who get more carries, more options. And what's interesting too is sometimes I feel like there's been a more tight ends who have been solid receiving options mm-hmm. At tight end, and that may be a result of quarterback stepping in and relying on the tight end, the short passing game a little more. So it does have an effect, and it's a great question too, because how much of an effect, and if you have the wide receiver, let's say Terrell Owens, mm-hmm. You know, we talked about this at length a couple weeks ago, the week that Tony Romo was first out, and it seemed like maybe he actually would play, and how much of an effect, if he doesn't play, who does it affect most? If he does play, who gets help the most? You know, Marion Barber, what kind of effect does it have on him? It's definitely a factor, and a lot of it depends on just the overall team and the overall weapons that a team has.
So are you, at this point in the season, are you more concerned with having depth at wide receiver than at quarterback because you need more production out of your wide receivers as a group than you do any one particular quarterback? So is it more important to have more guys who can start for you at wide receiver than to try to get a quality quarterback?
I feel like having a quality quarterback is maybe the most important, is maybe the most vital element. I certainly feel that running back value is where the high, you know, if you're looking at a draft and you're starting from scratch, you got to go running back. But I feel like you can bank on more production from those top tier quarterbacks week in, week out, sometimes in the running backs. And at wide receiver, it's even trickier, I think, because you know if a guy is a starting running back on his team, you know he's going to get the carries. And you know that if a guy gets 18 carries, maybe he gets, you know, his 80 yards and it's a decent day, but there's 18 chances that he breaks one loose.
Mm-hmm.
With wide receivers, you can look at target numbers and how many times a ball is thrown his way. When a ball is handed off to a running back, he's going to run with it. There's a small chance he fumbles it. Ball's thrown to a wide receiver, there's too many variables.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to have depth at wide receiver. There's so much more luck, I think, involved in having the right picks at wide receiver than there is at quarterback or running back. I think having a top-tier wide receiver, I'm sorry, having a top-tier quarterback is the safest bet when you're looking at each of these positions. That's what I think. I mean, it's tough to figure, though, year in, year out.
To get back to your original question about fantasy results this year from a Patriots perspective, I think obviously Randy Moss is significantly
dropped off. Yeah, and you mentioned Moss. Yeah, yeah.
But the guy who hasn't really has been Wes Welker.
Right.
So
right.
if you have him on your team, I think he might not be putting up a lot of touchdowns, but from a yardage or catches standpoint, he's about on pace to where he was last year.
I think he's ahead of the pace. He's set a record for most consecutive, or tied a record, I think, for most consecutive games to start a season with six or more catches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in hindsight, I guess that's predictable. You got Castle coming in, and it's more of a, playing the deep passing game, you had to figure that would take a step back, and that Welker, his ability to get open underneath would suit Castle more, and that has been the case. And you're right, hasn't affected him at all. Would Benjamin Watson have been more of a productive fantasy performer if Brady was in? It's possible. Maybe he wouldn't have to be blocking as much because Brady can make quicker decisions. He'd be able to. It's an interesting thought, interesting one to think about. Webradio@patriots.com, by the way, is our email address. We love hearing from you. That's what this show really is based upon, is getting your thoughts, you asking questions, who to start, who to sit. We already have some emails in the inbox that we will get to, but we encourage more of them. Send us your questions early. Send them often. We want to hear from you. Eric. Always, I say always good to have you on. Mm-hmm. This is your debut on the Fantasy Lowdown. We hope to have you back, though. And, maybe you can find a league that starts in week 9, do a draft.
I've been hooked on the Olympics.
The Olympics are over. It's time to play fantasy football.
Yeah, but when I get hooked on something, I get hooked for a while. It's hard to break free.
That's true. So. How about the 2009 season? Can we get you involved in fantasy football?
It's negotiable.
It's negotiable. It's negotiable.
I'm not doing it with you.
That was a recording, by the way.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Eric, thanks.
All right,
thanks for coming on. We'll chat with you soon.
See you
in Indy.
Yep.
Okay. Webradio@patriots.com. You are listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on patriots.com radio. We've got all kinds of topics to get to. I have a few thoughts from the past week in fantasy football, and we'll get to some of the upcoming projections in for this coming week and look back at the leaders from this past week. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. That is the phone number. We can take your calls as well, and we'll be right back after this on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Would you guys shut up?
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack started just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution
pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Did Eric Scalavino choose his music? No? Well, welcome back, I think, to the Fantasy Lowdown radio show here on Patriots.com Radio. We're with you every Thursday from 4 to 5, or maybe you'll be listening later on when this re-airs from 9 to 10, I believe it is.
In Hawaii.
5 hours later, yes. In Hawaii, yeah. That's right. You can be listening to this in the middle of the night in Hawaii, maybe, or middle of the afternoon. No, the other way around. I'm confused. You know, time changes.
When you listen to the replay, it'll be actually this time
this
right
time,
now.
This time, yeah. How about that?
So happy 424, everybody in Hawaii.
There you go. We are talking about the fantasy week ahead and the fantasy week behind us. Let's just take a quick look, as we do every week, at some of the standout performances. How about that game in England? If you're a quarterback and you played in England last week in an NFL game, you had a pretty good week. And if you're a fantasy owner and you had either Drew Brees or Phillip Rivers, you had a 3-touchdown week, really similar numbers. 3 touchdowns for both guys, right around the same number of yardage, 341 for Rivers and 339 for Brees. Rivers threw an interception, but those were really the two biggest quarterbacking performances in the NFL for fantasy. Matt Schaub, three touchdowns as well, and a few other guys had 300 yards passing. Kurt Warner, along with 2 touchdown passes. Chad Pennington reached 300 yards, and Peyton Manning, Tyler Thigpen of all people, and David Garrard had two touchdown passes. We talked about Matt Castle earlier. He had probably his best day as an NFL quarterback. It wasn't great fantasy-wise. 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions on the day. Running backs, Brian Westbrook. Boy, I think he's healthy. 167 yards and 2 touchdowns for him. He had a couple of touchdown performances. 2 touchdowns for Lendale White, although not really any yardage at all. Leonard Weaver. Raise your hand if you have Leonard Weaver on your fantasy team. There's virtually no chance you do, fullback in Seattle, but he had 2 touchdown receptions, both running catches. He had 116 yards receiving, only 13 on the ground. LaDainian Tomlinson out in England had 105 yards rushing. D'Angelo Williams, 108 yards and a touchdown. A lot of yardage on the day for Clinton Portis. He had 126 yards on the day, did not have a touchdown, but he is continuing an extremely strong season. As far as the wideout position is concerned, 2 touchdown days for Steve Smith of Carolina, Roddy White of Atlanta. Really, that Roddy White, that Matt Ryan-Roddy White connection has been steamrolling through the year. Anquan Boldin, in his return from injury, had 2 touchdowns, as did Kevin Walter. And not reaching the end zone, but racking up the yardage, Ted Ginn Jr., about time. I have him on one of my teams, and I've kind of had high hopes for him, and obviously hasn't performed all that well, but 175 yards for him on the day. Andre Johnson, 143 yards for Houston. Larry Fitzgerald, Lee Evans, a few other guys that reached 100 yards. Santana Moss, also I didn't mention, 140 yards and a touchdown. Dwayne Bowe, Jericho Cotchery, and of course right here in New England, Randy Moss. They all reached 100 yards on the day. Still a productive day, even if they didn't reach the end zone. And taking a quick look at tight end, guys who reached the end zone. Dallas Clark twice, definitely a focus for the Patriots this week, the Indianapolis tight end. He had 94 yards and a pair of scores in his biggest day of the year. Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Kevin Boss, Mark Campbell, and Anthony Fasano also reaching the end zone. As far as the tight ends are concerned in this past week. As I mentioned, webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Let's get to a few emails right now. And we first hear from Matt. B-Lo, I've got a bunch of questions for you this week. The first couple are starts or sits. I know we are both pretty high on Trent Edwards early in the season, and while he's been solid on the field, he hasn't been a great fantasy option. Last week, he scored 0 points in my ESPN league. My other quarterback in this league is Matt Schaub, who has been playing pretty well. So my question is, do I go with Schaub, or is it too early to give up on Edwards? I'm not ready to give up on Edwards. He's got Lee Evans, and he's performed well enough this year that even from a fantasy point of view, I'm not ready to give up on him. They host the Jets. I think this is an interesting week for him. I think he can do well this week and at home in a big division game that they need. I see the Edwards-Evans connection performing well. And as far as Houston is concerned, you know, at Minnesota, you know, believe it or not, they don't have a great pass defense. And Schaub has really come on these past couple weeks. Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, really emerging as one of the top wide receiver tandems. I like Schaub as well. I go with Edwards being at home this week. It's a close call. I like Schaub a little more for yardage this week, maybe. I like Edwards maybe for getting more touchdown passes. So it might depend on what you feel is more valuable in your league. It's a good option to have. It's a good question to have. It's a good decision to make. I don't know if you can go wrong this week. I'd lean a little bit more towards Edwards at home. Love Evans, love Marshawn Lynch running the ball and receiving it as well. So I'd lean towards Edwards. Now, Matt goes on to say, in the same league, we can start the following running backs and receivers. And there's five positions he's got to fill. Actually, four positions he's got to fill: a running back, two wide receivers, and a flex. My number one back is Marshawn Lynch. Not a bad one to have. And I've been switching the flex between either Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe, Ryan Grant, and Mawelde Moore. With Steve Smith on a bye, I'm trying to decide who to start in the flex position: Grant, Moore, or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I could see BJGE getting a touchdown, but I would have to assume Moore or Grant would be a safer bet for double-digit fantasy points. All right, well, Matt, you've got an interesting decision there. I would probably cross Ben Jarvis Green Ellis off the list. I say that for a few reasons. Lamont Jordan, back at practice this week. I think there's a chance he could play and maybe get a bunch of carries. But overall, I can see this being a similar sort of running back day for the Patriots as they had last week. I think it's going to be more of a Kevin Falk day. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a goal line option. But I don't think yet he's at that point where, you know, you've got a Tim Hightower in Arizona or LaRon McClain for a while with Baltimore. I think we still need to see Ben Jarvis Green Ellis be that goal line running back option for a couple consecutive weeks before we give him that kind of due. I can't see starting Ben Jarvis Green Ellis ahead of Ryan Grant or Mawelde Moore. If Willie Parker is not playing, I like Mawelde Moore the best among all of those options, even though they're playing at Washington on Monday Night Football. I've been very impressed with what Moore has been able to do. He's caught some touchdown passes as well. So both running and receiving for Mawelde Moore, but that completely hinges on Willie Parker. And if you don't know if Willie Parker, all signs point to Willie Parker playing this week, probably not at a full workload. So that's where you get a little tricky if Mawelde Moore is sort of splitting time with Willie Parker. And then Ryan Grant with Green Bay, who do they play this week? Green Bay is at Tennessee. Tough matchup for Ryan Grant. So what I would say is if there's no Willie Parker, Mawelde Moore for sure. If Willie Parker is limited, I'd maybe lean toward Ryan Grant, even though it's a bad matchup. But he's your every down guy for Green Bay. And you never know if he rips one off and goes the distance. That's always possible. I would not go with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. Two more questions from Matt. What are your thoughts on Jason Witten this week? He left last week's game with an injury, but is supposed to play against the Giants. Should I start Witten or grab one of the waiver wire tight ends for this week? Witten is definitely something we've got to monitor here. Jason Witten with the rib injury, and it seems like it's going to be a game time decision. That's what I'm reading this week. I kind of think that Martellus Bennett, who is the backup, is a very intriguing prospect. And if Witten can't go, he's an excellent choice, I think, this week. He's a rookie. I think that he could be the kind of guy that Brad Johnson goes to if he's looking for that option down the seam. He's a big guy. I think he's got a bright future. Witten, it looks like he's a game-time decision against the Giants. Did not practice on Thursday. I'd hesitate there. If you're looking for options, you know, waiver wire options at tight end, I think you can be successful. One guy to keep in mind, unfortunately, he's not going to help you this week, but if a Witten injury lingers, is look at San Francisco. One of the classic moments of the NFL season last week came last week with Mike Singletary, his actions on the field toward Vernon Davis, and then what he had to say afterwards. You've got to imagine that Vernon Davis, who has been a bust, real NFL-wise and fantasy-wise, you've got to imagine that he's in the doghouse, which means he might not be getting the opportunities. Delanie Walker is the backup in San Francisco. They're on a bye this week, so he's not going to help you much this week, but definitely a guy to keep in mind. Bo Scaife is another one for Tennessee. If you happen to catch the Monday night game, he is a guy that Kerry Collins targets. There's no question about that. He and Algie Crumpler, but Bo Scaife is a guy I'd keep in mind. You know, Billy Miller in New Orleans with Jeremy Shockey being hobbled this year. That's an interesting one. Anthony Fasano might not be on waiver wires anymore, but you know, he's a productive tight end in Miami. Grab him if you can. And I've kind of had my eye on John Carlson in Seattle. He's a rookie and hasn't really gotten to the end zone much, but he's a guy to keep in mind as well if you're looking for the waiver wire. But too early to say on Jason Witten. You've got to imagine most of the time a situation like this, he doesn't play. That would be my guess. You know, if you're not practicing during the week, that would just be my guess. So you may be looking at waiver wire pickups there, Matt. And finally, Matt writes, what are your thoughts on Ryan Terrain's fantasy impact moving forward? Hey, you're a Denver running back. You've got some value. You definitely have some value. Michael Pittman, when healthy, or right now he's healthy, the flavor of the week. It was Selvin Young early on, but he's been a very big disappointment. Andre Hall had a couple of fumbles against the Patriots. That ship perhaps has sailed. Keep in mind, you know, keep Ryan Terrain in mind, because if he becomes a guy that's going to get the carries in Denver, absolutely, I'd go for him. Like your questions there, Matt. Thanks for emailing in, and I hope we help you out this week, and you can have a successful week in fantasy. Webradio at Patriots.com. If you'd like to email us in and check in with your start, who to sit, or just some of the rants that you might have for this week. Another emailer we have here, Paul from London, and I'm just going to jump ahead in his email first. Yes, I did go to Wembley, as you asked last week. I would have replied last week, but as I don't listen live, I couldn't. Great game anyway. So Paul did check out that high-scoring affair between New Orleans and San Diego. Must have been quite an entertaining game. A little more scoring than last year's Giants-Miami game, I'm sure. But Paul, I hope you enjoyed that one. On to your email questions now. Finally, I don't have a player on a bye, so I have a full squad to choose from. 18 keeper league, 10 yards for any return yards from kicks. Very good to keep in mind there. Okay, quarterback, rattling off a handful of names here. Jay Cutler, Jason Campbell, Tom Brady. Still stashing Brady away. That's good. Collins, Edwards, Schaub, Garrard, and Flacco are the QBs who are available on waivers. So between Jay Cutler, Jason Campbell, and Tom Brady, I'd go with Jay Cutler for sure this week. Jason Campbell is my guy who I think is going to have a rough outing against Pittsburgh. Finally, I think Jason Campbell is going to throw an interception. I don't think he's going to have a lot of yardage. He's having a great year, but I wouldn't go with him. Jay Cutler with Denver against Miami, home against Miami. I think this could be a big week for Denver and their wideouts getting back on track a little bit. They had the bye last week, 2 weeks ago against the Patriots. It was a rough performance. He bangs up his finger. If those are your options, Paul, I'm going with Jay Cutler. Right, running back, Brandon Jacobs, Johnson. I imagine that's Chris Johnson. I'm pretty sure it is. Moeldy Moore, Sammy Morris, and Darren McFadden. Do I bring in Green Ellis for the start, replacing Morris? I don't think so. Whether you start two or three running backs here, Paul, I definitely go with Jacobs. I go with Johnson, and I go with Moeldy Moore if you are starting three, ahead of Morris, McFadden, or Green Ellis. And wide receiver, again, you're pretty Patriots heavy. I remember from past weeks, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, Larry Fitzgerald, and DeSean Jackson. Antoine Randall-El, Holt, Cincinnati. Who's Holt in Cincinnati? Oh, right, okay. And Dante Hall from the Rams and Steve Breston are available in all return kicks or punts and have big points in the league. That's an interesting one with the return yardage to keep in mind there. I like Randall L for that. I like Breston for that as well. Moss and Welker, I don't know if these are going to be huge weeks for either one of them. I don't think it's going to be a huge week for Matt Cassel, but I'd still stick with them. And Larry Fitzgerald, though, I think the Kurt Warner to Larry Fitzgerald tandem is going to have a big week this week at St. Louis. I'd go for them for sure. Tight end Chris Cooley, kicker Stephen Gostkowski, and defense special teams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You are all set right there. And it was me. That was the first time writer to Rook's show on Tuesday, even though he didn't say my name. Thanks for the help again. Paul, always good to help you out. Thanks for emailing in. And if you want to be like Matt or Paul, email us in at webradio@patriots.com. So as we look at the fantasy weeks ahead and week behind, the bye weeks this week, New Orleans, San Diego, San Francisco, and Carolina. Certainly some shakeups going on in San Francisco with JT O'Sullivan benched and Sean Hill, the next quarterback in the NFL, who's going to get his chances. Apologize for the delay there, getting some water in the system, Gary. Sorry about that. But
you got to hydrate.
Yeah, I got to hydrate. Got to hydrate, and you know, we need a water boy down here, Gary, I think. There you go. Now I'm hydrated. You're flooding me down here. I wanted to mention Jason Witten, who we just talked about from our emailers here. He is a game-time decision with his rib injury. I do have my eye on Martellus Bennett as a backup option. Martellus Bennett, physically gifted guy from Texas A&M. And, you know, watching some of the bits on the HBO show this year, he was kind of the tight end, the rookie that was picked on quite a bit. But I think he's coming into his own a little bit now, and I feel like he could open some eyes if he gets an opportunity, whether that's this week with Jason Witten being out or not. I definitely like him. Donnie Avery, it was very interesting to see him in person last week when the Rams came here to New England, and I think that's the emerging connection in St. Louis. You know, Isaac Bruce was the guy for a while. He's not there anymore. Torrey Holt is definitely you know, on the decline. And Donnie Avery, what a speedy guy. The guy can get open. The guy can catch the ball and great after the catch. And if you're lucky enough to have either drafted him or more likely picked him up on waivers in recent weeks, you know, you're definitely getting a special talent there. I think there's no doubt about it. I mean, he's a big play threat every single week, regardless of who they're playing. And I think this Arizona-St. Louis matchup on Sunday in St. Louis at the Edward Jones Dome is going to be just a huge one for fantasy implications. We'll see if Steven Jackson is back. He missed the game here against New England on Sunday with his injury, and whether or not that would have changed the game at all, you'd have to think that Steven Jackson's impact would have been huge. I like him for this week in fantasy as well. I mentioned earlier some of the tight ends when we had an email question about tight ends on the waiver wire. And, you know, this San Francisco situation with Vernon Davis is interesting. Delanie Walker, not a guy I know very much about. But maybe with Sean Hill coming in, you know, second-team guy, Delanie Walker, second-team tight end. Keep an eye on that duo, Sean Hill and Delanie Walker. And I don't know where Sean Hill is going to fit in this whole quarterback hierarchy with quarterbacks that have replaced injured guys this year. Is he going to be more in the Orlovsky, Ryan Fitzpatrick realm? Or is he going to be more of a manager of the game, the phrase we hear all the time, and be more in the Matt Cassel, Kerry Collins realm? What you really hope for if you're pressed for a guy for fantasy purposes is that he's a guy who comes in and just doesn't make a lot of mistakes, maybe can get you 200 yards, maybe a touchdown and a pick, or hopefully not a pick, but you know, you're probably not going to be getting more than a touchdown or two out of him in any game. But you know, worth a shot, worth a chance, taking a chance on a guy like Sean Hill. They're on their bye this week, and we'll see what he can do next week. Every Thursday, we like to check out one of my favorite fantasy columnists, Greg Rosenthal. He always has his rankings for the upcoming week available on Thursdays, and is always an interesting look at who he predicts are going to be the big weeks this week. And quarterback Kurt Warner, I was one of my absolute worst decisions fantasy wise this year was last week, both here on the Fantasy Lowdown radio show and on Patriots Today in our fantasy segment every Thursday. I called Kurt Warner as my guy to sit. I didn't see him having a big game at Carolina. Carolina had not given up a single passing touchdown the entire season until last week against Kurt Warner, who had nearly 400 yards, two touchdowns early to Anquan Boldin. Well, Kurt Warner is the number one guy in the goal line stand, Greg Rosenthal's goal line stand, as far as quarterbacks this week, the number one projected quarterback. I like that at St. Louis. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game. And Jay Cutler, number two against Miami. He is listed as probable with his finger injury, but that's a good bet right there. Peyton Manning against the Patriots, number three. I got to say, I don't disagree. I think with the weapons he has and the struggles the Patriots have had in the secondary, Peyton Manning as the number three quarterback, fantasy quarterback this week, I've got to agree. Donovan McNabb, number four, against the disappointing Seattle Seahawks, and Matt Schaub, number five, against Minnesota. And then really the stunning, the stunner of the fantasy season so far is Kyle Orton. Could you ever have imagined that Kyle Orton would be one of the top 10 quarterbacks, let alone number six on Greg's fantasy rankings this week at quarterback? The Chicago Bears playing Detroit. That's what happens when you're playing Detroit. I think Brian Lowe or Gary Gudecki might be the number six quarterback ranked if we're playing Detroit this week. But Kyle Orton is simply putting up the numbers, and that's been pretty impressive. Chad Pennington, number seven, another impressive scenario where he goes to Miami pretty early, and he has been a legit quarterback this year fantasy-wise, putting up good yardage, great throwing, great completion percentage, and touchdowns as well. Brett Favre, the guy who replaced him, number eight, Trent Edwards, number nine, and David Garrard, number 10. So those are your quarterback rankings for fantasy this week, and if you're interested in Matt Cassel, is ranked 16th, which is right around where I'd put him, middle of the pack, 16 out of 28 quarterbacks ready to go, ready to start in their NFL this week. Looking at running backs, Brian Westbrook, boy, that guy, if he could only stay healthy week in, week out, would just be the number one fantasy guy every single year, number one drafted guy. But he is number one this week against Seattle, and we said Donovan McNabb earlier, top five quarterback. So I kind of agree there. It's going to be a big day for the Philly offense. Adrian Peterson, number two. Matt Forte, number three. Steven Jackson, number four. And Marion Barber, number five. Chris Johnson, the rookie, is number seven. You got to go pretty far down to find a Patriot, and Kevin Falk is 35th, Lamont Jordan 27th, and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis 54th. I feel like if Lamont Jordan does go this week, that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis would be the guy who wouldn't really get any carries. But it's just so frustrating. It's got to be frustrating if you're a fantasy owner that has any of the Patriots running backs, because you just don't know week in, week out, which of the guys is going to be the one to get the carries, which one's going to get the carries in the red zone, who's going to have the ball thrown to him. And it was Kevin Falk last week. When Lawrence Maroney goes out for the year on the eve of the Monday Night Football game, really the day of, you figure, hey, Sammy Morris is the guy. We can finally settle in here a little bit. He has a huge first half against Denver, and then he goes down, and we haven't seen him yet at practice, and he missed last week's game. Most likely he'll miss the game again this week, but really the question is, what does that mean? What does that mean for Kevin Falk? What does it mean for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? What does it mean for Lamont Jordan? All very good questions, all questions that we don't really have answers to, and when it's the Patriots, you really don't have answers to until game time and the game is developing, and that's just the way it is. Not quite the same as some of these other teams who have a guy injured and there's number one guy who steps in. It's not quite the same here. Maybe Lawrence Maroney was supposed to be that guy, but so far he's not. Let's take a quick look at the wide receivers. Andre Johnson, number one, just having an outstanding year, and they're going up against Minnesota. And I said earlier, you know, Minnesota, their defense has a great reputation overall. Passing defense-wise, not so good. They're actually 20th in the entire league this year in pass defense as far as yardage given up. So they haven't been quite the juggernaut defensively as a lot of observers thought they would. Brandon Marshall of Denver, number two. Like I said, I think the Jay Cutler-led offense is going to get back on track after a bye week and an off week against the Patriots. Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, tandem of Arizona Cardinals, who are 3-4. They're going up against St. Louis. That should be a high-flying affair. Reggie Wayne against the Patriots, number five, just to keep an eye on his injury situation, though. He does have an ankle injury and was, I believe it was limited in Wednesday's practice for Indy. Keep an eye right there. Lee Evans, Roddy White, Bernard Berry, and Greg Jennings, and Randy Moss is number 10. And Greg Rosenthal's note on Moss is going over the middle more. That is interesting. Does that mean that he's going to have fewer opportunities at the end zone, especially if he doesn't have great yards after the catch? He was involved, you know, he got into the wide receiver screens a little bit. Well, maybe that'll be great for reception leagues if you get points per reception, but might not be so good for yardage and touchdowns. And obviously, Randy Moss has been affected by the by not having Tom Brady. We've seen that since last week, but maybe he can get into a bit of a groove with Matt Cassel going over the middle more. That is a possibility. Tight ends, the number one tight end is Dallas Clark going into this week. against the Patriots. Greg Olsen, number two. Owen Daniels of Houston, number three. Tony Gonzalez, four. And Jason Witten, five. Of course, that status is completely predicated on his health. Certainly something to keep in mind and to monitor. And really, with the Patriots, Ben Watson listed as 19th going into this week. So not too not really anything to worry about there. But if especially if he's used more as a blocker, which has been the case in recent weeks. And just looking quickly at defenses, Chicago Bears, number one against Detroit. Can't disagree there. Eagles, Ravens, Buccaneers, and Giants, they round out the top five. So those are a few of the rankings going into this week. Webradio at patriots.com. That is our email address. If you want to check in with us and send us your thoughts, send us your fantasy thoughts. We're always ready and willing to listen. Oh, what a surprise. We do have a surprise coming up very soon. Now, one other topic that I wanted to bring up, and it was an idea I was just kind of thinking in my mind, because my mind is always running when it comes to fantasy football. Kind of a loser that way, of course. Geek, nerd, whatever you want to call it. What if this was week one of the season? If we had took everything into account that we know right now, we're in week nine. That was mine, Gary. You can have another one. Thank you. If we're in week nine here, if you started from scratch and started a fantasy league right now, based on everything we know, current injuries, you know, the way a player has performed up to this year, projected for this year, and you start, what would be your round one? Who would be your number one guy, the number one pick that you would make if you were starting a fantasy league over right now? Dan Tugender joins us, as he often does. And, Dan, that's what I'm starting with right now, putting you right on the spot. If you could start a fantasy league right now, you had the first pick in a draft, and you had a fantasy league that basically ran from week nine till the end of the season, who would be your number one pick if you had the number one pick in the entire draft?
Dan Tyco.
Ben Jarvis Greenellis.
Ben Jarvis Greenellis, you know, and that's what I was going to say, BJGE. Yeah. This is not a points per letter in the name league,
oh,
Dan.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I didn't tell you that in advance.
Well, I figured you get like four players in that. You get Ben Watson.
Who doesn't
Jarvis
do much
Green,
for you.
No,
yeah. even if you did. No, it's an interesting one, and I started to, you know, think about it a little bit. I had a few thoughts in mind, a few options, and it wouldn't be what it was. You know, if you're going from week one, LaDainian Tomlinson, he's the number one guy. Adrian Peterson, probably the number two guy.
Steven Jackson was up there also.
Steven Jackson was up there and probably still would be. Marion Barber was really the guy that kind of came to mind, number one. That's really based on production so far, meaning he's having a good year, based on
staying healthy,
which, you know, minimal concerns there, but overall not bad. I feel like with Brad Johnson at the helm instead of Tony Romo, it puts a little more on Marion Barber, meaning he's going to get more touches. And even when Romo is there and it's just an overall effective offense, I like Marion Barber. I think he might be the safest guy as of right now going into the rest of the year.
No, I would agree with that, especially like you just mentioned, the state that the Cowboys are in, hurting a little bit at quarterback. He's their safety guy right there,
yep.
You know, in the backfield.
Yeah, and my number two guy was Drew Brees. And here's why. I think he's the safest. I think he right now is the safest fantasy player week in, week out. I might be wrong on that, and I have Drew Brees on one of my teams, and I'm thrilled with him, and unfortunately he's on a bye right now. But I think he's the safest guy in any position. Week in, week out, his numbers are pretty consistent. And he's got a good offense overall. I was looking at him number two. And then there's some, the next tier was running backs, in my opinion. Clinton Portis, he's having a dominant
year.
Having a dominant year. He's getting up there. He's, you know, a little wear and tear. I feel like wear and tear might be affecting him more than some of these other guys. But he's having a huge year, and I think it's going to maybe it doesn't keep up at this pace. He's on like a 1,500-yard pace. Maybe it declines a little bit, but not bad. And then Michael Turner, LaDainian Tomlinson, Brian Westbrook. Maybe not necessarily in that order. Westbrook, I'd elevate all the way to the top if you could really feel confident about him from an injury standpoint. But are these some guys you'd probably have in mind too? I mean, I hate to put you on the spot there, but you know, it was an interesting one when I started thinking about it because you have a lot more to take into account than you do at the beginning of the year when you just don't know who are going to be the injured guys, how are different offenses going to really look with maybe new quarterbacks. Now you kind of know how the season's going for some of these guys.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, running backs definitely come to mind first. Those are usually guys that put up the most points year in, year out. But at the same time, those are guys that are probably most injury prone, at risk of missing a week here, a week there. But definitely a guy like Marion Barber, guys like Steven Jackson, guys like Brian Westbrook, they're proven players. You know they're going to be superstars in the league. They're going to put up 1,000-plus yards rushing, 5, 10, 12 touchdowns a season. So those guys are rock solid.
Absolutely. How'd your team do this past week, Dan? Rough one? Ooh.
A tough one, B-Low.
Tough one, huh?
Unfortunately.
Probably because of advice and expertise.
I didn't take your advice, I don't think.
Well, usually that's the way to win. No, don't take my advice. You're going to win your league.
What were the tough decisions that backfired? Well, I had a tough decision at quarterback. David Garrard, Matt Castle, Jeff Garcia. Went with Jeff Garcia, which completely backfired.
Yeah, rough one. Yeah. I was a little surprised by that outing. I thought this was going to be a higher scoring game than it was, Dallas and Tampa Bay.
I think they only put up 9 points.
Yeah, they only put up 9 points. Matt Bryant, if you had him, you were fine. Well, I'll tell you what, Dan, I had a massive week. My team, I have two teams, but one and both. I went 1-1 this week. I had just a ridiculous scoring day. Drew Brees, Roddy White. Had Mueldy Moore and Dominic Rhodes who performed well. Ted Ginn for yardage. I just had some big time performances this week, and I was really I didn't see it going in. I didn't think it was going to be a real big week for myself. I was a little surprised at how well I did. I had no reason to think that Ted Ginn was going to have 175 yards.
I had Teddy Ginn in the beginning of the year and dropped him.
Well, you're probably the smart one. I'm not the smart one to have kept him. And I had a buy. I'm sorry, I didn't even mention. I have Anquan Boldin. And I did start
pretty
him,
big game
and he had two touchdowns. Yeah. So, you know, that was I didn't expect that out of Anquan Boldin. I think because of some bye weeks that I had, I definitely had to start him. And I figured, hey, he's going to play. Maybe he gets a couple of looks, maybe a couple of looks in the red zone. Two touchdowns. Couldn't have argued with that. So that was I was very excited about that one.
B-Low, I can't understand why I can't have one of the players that puts up 350-plus yards passing or 150-plus yards running the ball.
They're always on your bench.
I can't seem to find one of those players.
Or they're on your bench, like Ronnie Brown. Yeah. You're.
You know, I get the guys that get 49 passing yards, no touchdowns.
Well, Dan, it's hard to just find those guys. I'm a rookie.
You're
a rookie, right. Yeah. It's hard to find those guys, and it's harder still to find the guy who can, you know, do that consistently week in and week out. And I was talking earlier at the beginning of the show How do you tell, you know, these quarterbacks who come in and replace injured guys, you know, if you're looking for a guy as a fill-in, it's hard during the season. You know, especially at these quarterback positions, even the quote-unquote successful fill-in quarterbacks this year, from a fantasy standpoint, a guy like Matt Castle, J.T. O'Sullivan early on, but he faded. Successful means 200 yards, maybe a touchdown, probably a pick. You're not going to be finding these guys who are 300-yard guys, 2-3 touchdowns a week. Right. That's the problem. And a quarterback, there's only a handful, and we've mentioned them, Brees, Rodgers, Phillip Rivers,
Romo
when he's healthy, who you can really count on. I mean, Donovan McNabb's having a good year, but you're not going to, you know, he's not necessarily going to give you huge numbers every week. Kurt Warner's going to give you some big numbers, but those big numbers are going to include interceptions.
And there's a lot of guys that in the past have been able to put up those numbers, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger,
Tom Brady.
Aren't really doing it this year.
Right. Tom Brady's not doing it either this year.
Yeah. He's not doing much.
Which is definitely troubling. What about this coming week? Are you hit hard by bye week as I am with Drew Brees?
No, I'm not too bad. I have Reggie Bush, who is still nursing that injury, so he probably wouldn't play anyway. Chris Chambers is my only other player that is on the bye, so I'm looking pretty good. Easy choice at defense this week. I was kind of hedging between New England and Tennessee last week, with New England obviously playing the Rams and Tennessee having a tough game against the Colts.
Yeah.
But this week, Tennessee all the way with New England going to Indianapolis.
Sure.
But I think this week I should do pretty decent.
Well, I think there's going to be, as I look at the NFL slate for this week, the game that I really have my eye on that I think is just going to be an explosive offensive game is Arizona-St. Louis. You know, you've got, for the most part, you've got healthy bodies at the key position, Steven Jackson being the one that's that we don't know about. I just think both teams in the dome, I think both of these offenses are going to go to town this week. And actually, you know, there is some, I was looking just a bit ago, Steven Jackson, he was vague, apparently, speaking to reporters today about his status for week 9. For the second straight day, they say he took 30 to 40% of the practice load. He said, I'm practicing to play. I'm practicing to play, if that tells you anything. Jim Haslett, I guess, called him 50-50 to face Arizona. Haslett said, I think he's going to be game-time decision. Antonio Pittman would be the guy otherwise. So it was funny. On Sunday here at the stadium, before the game, I was out on the field, and Steven Jackson was warming up, and I saw him as he was walking off the field. And there were a couple of young fans in the stands, and one of them yelled out, hey, Steven, you going to play? And what does Jackson say? He nods yes. He nods yes. And about 15 minutes later, the inactive list came out. And when I saw that, I didn't read anything into it. I like to think maybe I'm smarter than that. For all he knew, that was Bill Belichick's son in the stands.
Right.
But that was funny to see. He definitely did work out. It wasn't like it was you knew he wasn't going to play. Saw him with some of the trainers. So we'll see with him this week.
Now, are you down there that early to gain some insider fantasy football knowledge at that time?
That's all it is. That's all it is. It's all for Fantasy Lowdown.
It's not illegal?
It's actually for the Patriots Today Game Day blog, which everyone should check out on game days on patriots.com. Got to make a visit to the field, see what's going on down there.
Be reading those blogs.
I know you do. On away games, you do, right?
Of course.
You're watching Patriots Colts at home Sunday night, firing up the computer, checking out the Patriots
Today
Game Day
blog. Glued to my computer.
That's it. Very interesting game, fantasy-wise, is Houston at Minnesota. And I was talking earlier about Minnesota, how their defense, they actually have a fairly poor pass defense, good against the run. And Houston has been one of the more high-flying offenses in recent weeks. I'm wrestling in my mind. Are the Houston offensive skill position guys great plays this week? Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, Kevin Walter, and Steve Slayton? I think yes. I think they're going into Minnesota, but I think they're going to get the job done in Minnesota this week. And I think if you have guys, Houston players on the skill position players, I think they're going to have big weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine Andre Johnson will have a huge drop off from the huge numbers he's been putting up in the past couple of weeks. Unbelievable season that guy's having.
Yeah, and how about Chicago? I mean, I love Matt Forte, and I think that Matt Forte maybe by week 15, 16, 17 will have a bit of a drop off. Love him this week, though. They're coming off a bye, so any issues about is workload a problem for him? I think at least for this week, especially going up against Detroit, I think Matt Forte is going to have a monster week. And he's been a workhorse for Chicago. He's the one guy going into the season who it seemed like a rookie that grasped hold of his team's lead back role. And I just think, for this week at least, I think he's going to be maybe the number one back in fantasy football.
Yeah, like you mentioned, maybe in weeks 15, 16, 17, there might be a little drop off. Some of those rookies who aren't used to playing that many games during a season. But it's still a little early. And like you said, coming off the bye, should be fresh. Should have a big week.
Shouldn't have any problems. New England at Indianapolis. Nice to always like to talk about fantasy football from this team's perspective. Here's what I think. I think Indianapolis' offense is going to be clicking on Sunday. I think it's just tough matchups for the Patriots. These are tough matchups really all the way across the board. If Joseph Addai is limited and still isn't 100% but plays, I don't know if he's going to have a monster week. But give me Manning. Give me Wayne. Give me Clark. Probably give me Harrison. Maybe give me Anthony Gonzalez as well.
Yeah, I got Dallas Clark as a tight end of my fantasy team. And as much as I wouldn't like to see him have a big week against this Patriots team, with Rodney Harrison not out there anymore, I'm afraid to see what happens.
He had two touchdowns and was targeted quite a bit against Tennessee the other day.
Biggest game of the season last week.
Right, and that's Tennessee. I think we see him finding the end zone. The one thing is, and maybe this is more because of Rodney, he has not had good games against the Patriots, with the lone key exception, not to gloss over this, the AFC Championship game a couple years ago. Other than that, he hasn't had more than two receptions in a game against the Patriots.
Yeah, and I'd have to imagine that a lot of that has to do with Rodney, because whenever we play whenever the Patriots play a team with a big tight end, whether it be Antonio Gates, it's always Rodney Harrison's responsibility.
Kellen Winslow last year is another
one. So with him out of the lineup, you got an inexperienced guy, Brandon Merriweather, who they're saying will assume his position. So we'll see what happens out there.
Yep. And from the Patriots side, Matt Castle, who's right over your shoulder on NFL Network right now, Dan, I don't see him having a huge fantasy day. Maybe he won't throw a ton of interceptions. I don't think he's going to have interceptions this time around. But I do think that, if you can still stick with maybe 200 yards, probably one touchdown, maybe not too many more than that. I think he'll be a decent option. And, I guess you got to like Welker, because he's been the guy who's been making the catches week in, week out. Moss, it's just, you know, they've been going to him a lot. Even in some of the games where he hasn't had a huge production, they've been going to him. So you've still got to keep him in there. I just don't see it happening. I don't know if I'm going to see it this week. And from a running back standpoint, I think this might be another Kevin Faulk type week. But whether that's good enough for you to start Kevin Faulk as a running back on your fantasy team, I just don't know. I don't see it. I think he might have 12 to 14 touches, and maybe he gets 70 yards total offense. But whether or not he reaches the end zone, that's a big question.
Yeah, I'd expect to see a little less Kevin Faulk production this week. Lamont Jordan has been practicing, so he'll probably take a couple of those touches on Sunday. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, you know, they'll probably split it. Each taking a third of the carries out there.
Well, one of the great parts about having night games for the Patriots is, especially a Sunday night game, you get to watch a lot of these games. Home or away, get to sit back, watch some of these games, see if your fantasy picks panned out well. For those of you listening, I hope your fantasy picks pan out well this week. Hope he gave you some decent advice. We hope you email us in, webradio@patriots.com. We're here every Thursday. You can email us during the week if you'd like. We'll stash that email away and get to it from 4 to 5 Eastern on Thursdays. Be sure to check out Patriots Today as well, each and every day on Patriots.com. And on Thursdays, we have a fantasy lowdown segment. And Gary,
gotta get all those plugs in.
Well, Gary, who else can you see on Patriots Today?
Zolak.
Right, Scott Zolak every now and then. Paul Perillo every now and then. Really, these are great options and great reasons to watch. And be sure to check out the Patriots Today Game Day blog, which we will be blogging live from the Lucas Oil Stadium on Sunday. You can follow the game along as you listen to John Madden and Al Michaels on TV. Thank you for tuning in to the Fantasy Lowdown for week number 9. We'll be back next week leading into week number 10 on the Fantasy Lowdown.
No, I'm not saying hot naked burrito.